ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सुगीतकर्तव्या किमनाय शास्त्रविस्तरै या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखा पद्माभिनिसृता श्रीमद्भगवद्गीता की जय। हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू फॉर कमिंग। वी हैव सो मच सो मेनी डिफरेंट नेक्टर्स अराउंड। वी हैव डेटिस, वी हैव परिक्रमस, डिफरेंट कीर्तन्स एंड वी हैव आल्सो दिस भगवद्गीता। So something for everybody, for everyone. It's my honor and pleasure. I need your blessings to speak. We will churn some. We will churn a little bit this ocean of deep points of second chapter. Krishna just started. Lord Krishna just started explaining to Arjuna the basic of spiritual understanding. It's chapter 2. This text is 15. Just let me find it. 2:15. Okay. Yam hi na vyathayantyete, yam hi na vyathayantyete, purusham purusharshabha, purusham purusharshabha, samadukha sukam dhiram, samadukha sukam dhiram, so mritatvaya kalpate, so mritatvaya kalpate. Maybe we can learn some words. Yam, one to whom he certainly, na never, vyathayanti are distressing, ete all these, purusham to a person, purusharishabha or best among men, sama unaltered, dukkha in distress, sukham and happiness, dhiram patient, saha he, amritatvaya for liberation, kalpate is considered eligible. Please excuse my English, I'll probably try my best. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So please kindly repeat. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So this first sentence of purport is very actually important. Purport. Anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. We'll come back to this. In the Varna Ashrama institution, the fourth stage of life, namely the renounced order, sannyasa, is a painstaking situation. But one who is serious about making his life perfect surely adopts the sannyasa order of life in spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having to sever family relationships, to give up the connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as a Kshatriya, he is advised to persevere, even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24, and his dependents, young wife, as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. Yet for a higher cause, he took sannyasa and was steady in the discharge of higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage. Hare Krishna. Yam hina vyatayantyete purusham purusharshabha samaduka sukam dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So Burijan Prabhu says that this is the first time liberation is mentioned in the Gita. First time we see liberation is mentioned in Gita here in this shloka. And in text 14, which is famous, usually everyone knows text 13 and 14, no, but 15 I never knew actually, isn't it? First verse we learn is usually, no? Dehinos minyata dehe, everyone knows. And then matras pashas tu kaunte, yeah. But this one I never knew. 15. We see in the previous verse, Lord Krishna speaks about tolerance, titikshasva bharata. He urges Arjuna that he should actually tolerate happiness and distress. In this case, in his case, distress was that he must fight with dear ones, with teachers. But Lord Sri Krishna says, it is just do your duty. It is this happiness and distress are temporary. They come and go. Then in this shloka, Lord Krishna mentions the result of tolerance. The result is, so he amritatvaya kalpate. So one who tolerates, he will achieve liberation. Or amritatva. What would mean in English? Eternity. Amritatva. Could also refer to heavenly planets. As Lord Krishna will later speak to us, because the amaras, amrit, they drink amrita. Lord Krishna will later tell to Arjuna, and I come back to that later actually. There was a question in the morning class. Prabhuji gave class this morning. Yeah? There was the question of brahmacharis asked a nice question. It's can we accelerate? How can we? Is there any way to accelerate our advancement? Or such a nice question. How can I accelerate the process? Can I make it more quick? And Can we do it actually? No? And the Prabhupada giving us answer that how he used to say Krishna consciousness is very easy, but something else is difficult. What is that? Determination. Determination is difficult. But Krishna consciousness is easy. But determination is difficult. So that's why this first sentence speaks. Anyone who is steady in his determination. So steadiness in determination. That is the key of quick advancement. So nobody stops us, isn't it? Who is stopping us? If you want to advance quickly, who is stopping you to get up at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, chant, to serve after, to serve the devotees, to forget about yourself, to stay in kirtan, extra. You don't need to go out. You know, nobody is stopping me to come out of the temple, but I'm coming out. Yeah? For example, no? Sometimes I imagine, what if this my last day? Hare Krishna. What if this is my last day? I'll probably not go to rest, of course, because you know the marathon is in the end and you don't need to save anything for tomorrow. Your last day, you don't need to save anything for tomorrow. Sometimes, you know, like when our festivals, sometimes we've been taught that it is good, this mood is good to adopt when there's festival, because you don't need to, you know, you just can, at that day you can give yourself out. You know. No need to save anything for tomorrow. But usually, I'll not do like that. No? Usually, I'll save strength and everything. We will measure, no? Not completely give ourselves. No? Routine is needed. No? So steadiness in determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. So this is Srila Prabhupada's statement. And would be interesting to see what can make us being sama dukkha sukha. What will make us being equal in happiness and distress? Any suggestion? Krishna consciousness? What will make us being equal in happiness and distress? What will help us? That is the question. What will help us being equal in happiness and distress? Desireless. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Chanting Maha Mantra, okay. Fixed in chanting. Anyone else? Taking it as will of Krishna. Mataji, you were saying somebody?
Steadiness.
Deep faith in Krishna.
Engaged in service.
Knowing that you are pure spirit soul, nothing transcendent to
body. Knowing that you are spirit soul, transcendent to body.
Control of senses.
Control of senses. Or learned sages.
Even in the material world, we see, no? Is not nothing actually, we can also apply the same thing in the material world. There are many persons who are equal in the happiness and distress, but what do they have? What these people have? Focus, strong desire to achieve something. And they have focus. So they are determined. And in this way, they naturally will be controlled. They will not waste their time. So focus. Have you, if
Have you seen when we are focused in something, absorbed in something, how we forget about our hunger or thirst, isn't it? Sometimes we forget to eat, you know, when we are absorbed in something. Today, usually in world, what is absorbing, besides our blissful and merciful Vrindavan and deities and kirtanas and kathas, and what is absorbing usually is a movie, a drama, something which will take your attention out of yourself. Football. Anybody not watching football? Football. Here in Vrindavan, nobody, we don't think about it. But as soon as you go back to West, where I live in Split, in Croatia, there is a very wild, very fiery, fans, football fans of the club, of a local club. And they're famous in Europe because of their stuff. So I was there was one match, and I was at home, and I was reading something. You know, I was reading something, or I don't know what I was doing, something Krishna conscious. But all out of my windows, all around, I could see, "Wow, come on, come on now, yeah." They were all around, you see, in the house, you know, what's going on? What's this? Because they all watch, like, you know, they're totally absorbed. And they, with emotions, they are totally there. You know? Not the wives. Husbands. Wives are thinking, oh my God. So, this is the what is this telling to us? What is telling to me? I was actually amazed because I realized all these people have a potential of absorption. It is only the question of object of absorption. So they have potential to be absorbed in Krishna also. Because if you can be absorbed in football, or music, or anything else, so that means we also can be absorbed in Krishna, isn't it? So there must be a way, and each of us has, my Guru Maharaj used to say, an entry point. Some doors are always open, isn't it? We have to find our doors. Which are our doors? Which door is open for us? What is, you know, what is resonating, how they say today, resonating, you know, like the strings, and they resonate with each other when they are in accord, you know. What is resonating with me? Well, this is the actually only thing which we really can do. We cannot do just something intellectually. You know, we know, but, isn't it? I know, but. Guru Maharaj used to say, yes, you can know a lot, but you can be a dry fish. Old fish, but dry. He was referring to senior disciples. So you can be a very old fish, but out of water. So it's not point of how much I know. But what did I really accept with my heart? And it can be small thing, but it will work. That thing will work. Other things will not work because we didn't put focus on it. Only that which we put focus on will work. Isn't it? If we don't put focus, how it can work? It's not possible. So that is the and they forget to eat, they forget everything. They forget what time of day or night is, they just shout, scream, you know, and people cannot sleep because they are absorbed. Yeah. So this is something that is like, that I'm sharing with you, which is my like kind of ideal. I search for things which I can be absorbed in. For example, I very much like to study. Even during Prabhupada marathons, I would study and learn shlokas. I would have in the same time marathon of learning shlokas, simultaneously with marathon, because that's something I like to do. Someone else, shloka, come on. So boring, Sanskrit. For me, I adore. That's for me. For someone else, will be something else. But that's my motivation. And I really much like to learn shlokas and meanings, what each word means, you know. Reading, become curious. So something for me. Someone else maybe will be very interested in how to make money for the project. And he'll be totally into it, and he'll be very, very, you know, he'll be great into it. These Brahminical types are not so good for these things. They're useless. They just read. They just read and study. Nobody wants these guys. You need those who collect, you know. So, yeah. So everyone, somebody likes to dress the deity, somebody likes to organize things, you know, make things happen. Somebody is very creative, you know. So these things can help us. This kind of duties can help us come over dukkha and sukha, isn't it? Otherwise, it's difficult. So recently, Lady Mataji Kartamisha, I think she gave a class, and I asked a question. For me, I had a question, which I was thinking, tolerate distress, isn't it? We know about it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Speaks about tolerating distress. Maybe it will, yes, no? Oh, okay. Half still. But what about tolerating happiness? So please, maybe we can come up with some examples or ideas. What would be tolerating of happiness during the discharge of our duty? Before, you will think of it, we should mention. So this absorption, you see, materialist people, they can also go over. Hariba, Hare Krishna. They can also go over sukha and dukkha if they are absorbed. But what will they attain? Nothing. Material goal. And this is determination. They are determined. But this determination is described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. 18th chapter, Lord Krishna describes three types of determination. And this is rajasi determination. Dhriti is determination. Dhriti. Dhriti, rajasi, determination in the mood of passion. Let's see. Determination in the mood of passion. Dhriti utsaha samanvita. Dhritya. Sukham. Happiness. Okay, maybe somewhere else. 23. Dahritam. Jnanam. Karta. Many things he explains, but maybe not here. Anyway, but you can find these three types of dhriti. And one in the mode of passion is, it is determination, but for wrong things, for material things, for temporary things. Determination, and now I will come back to the question about happiness. What would be the tolerance of happiness? What kind of happiness we have to tolerate? Do you have any idea, please? Yes, Prabhu.
Suppose you won the lottery of a couple of millions, and then in that state, everybody becomes a pauper. So that to have a full lottery of a couple of millions is like a gift. But in such a case, to remain calm and tolerating happiness.
Okay, very nice. Huh? we get a couple of millions, we get some huge gain, and in that we remain calm. In that gain we remain calm. That is the sign of tolerating the happiness. Thank you for example. It's actually very common example, which this happens often. We gain something. What else could be the happiness? Yeah, so many distresses are there. Very little. Few things of happiness. Yes, Prabhu.
Give an example that happened to me. I had a vegetarian lunch program. I had a lunch program at the university. And the leftovers from the program, I would go downtown Vancouver, where all the drug addicts and prostitutes, they go, and give them free food. Very, difficult because they're all dirty, and I just give them a plate. But it was very pleasurable because it was Krishna Prasadam, and I felt like I really hit the target by giving Prasadam to these people. Then I was doing this in Vancouver in the city. Then I would go during the weekend, I would go to my house in the country where my family was, my kids, my wife, and every Saturday night is a family reunion. Because I have 5 kids and 9 grandkids, and we get big family reunion. So I was finding myself in my house on Saturday night, this pizza, cheesecake, and everybody's happy,
Yeah.
I was thinking I was there, but not there. They're happy, but I just couldn't really feel it because I was thinking of all the other people down and the pleasure to give to these people. So the happiness in family life was dimmed down a little bit.
Okay.
So even now, because I'm older, by a cross stage, when I'm with my family and this happiness, like Christmas parties and all that, I'm sitting in the room and I'm wondering, oh, when is this going to be over? It's happiness, supposed to be happiness. But you don't feel it as happiness anymore because it's becoming all dated for you. And you have to go on to something better.
Yeah.
But the karmas go
down,
You part of this.
Okay. Thanks, Hare Krishna. I'll say to the mic because there are radio listeners, so let's say shortly. So Prabhuji was telling how actually he was distributing prasadam to the people outside and people who are not even so clean, in this prostitutes. Homeless people, and then he came after something. Came back home in a nice area with his family members, and they had very nice prasadam pizzas and everything. Always nice, relaxed, nice. But he couldn't actually completely be there because he thought about all those people outside. No, so yeah, this is actually the tolerance of happiness, or we could say a devotee actually is not about happiness and distress. We can see this, devotee is something completely else, different than happiness and distress of this world. And Prabhuji was thinking about all those people there. So, we also had in Split, where I live in Croatia, on the coast is wonderful, very clean water, very nice. Many tourists come. And once also we went to some, all devotees gather together that we go on the beach. So I suggested to one devotee that we just take some books with us and just half hour, two of us, we'll go just, or whoever wants to join, we'll just go for half or 1 hour just around those houses and then we will just join the beach party. So I was amazed how many devotees responded actually. It was like, I think one couple, it was like 8 devotees. There were not only 2 of us, there were 8 of them who were willing, but it was very sunny, very hot. And we're going out on these houses. It's a very slow process. It is not the building you enter inside, you go door to door, or there are many people who approach outside. It's the house. That means you need to knock, and there's only one family there, and then you have to wait until they open. It's a process. So we distributed few books, yes. In this, 4, 6, great, something. Any one book will be great. We distributed something, and then after this, we started for the beach. You just reminded me with your example, actually. And on the beach, we saw devotees swimming and frolicking and enjoying there. And I looked at the devotee, my friend, I looked at him, and he looked at me. And I'm confiding, is this confiding or I'm telling to him, you know what do I feel now? I feel going there will be like miserable. I don't feel any happiness in going there actually, in the sea, joining the devotees. Because, you know, we're sweating in the sun, approaching people who we don't know what will be their answer. But we felt so much satisfaction inside, unexplainable satisfaction. You know? And now we are going there, we are going a few steps down, you know. It's not the same level of happiness. So this is the difference between real happiness of service and material happiness. It's just nothing. We are not enthused at all. And I was thinking, wow, because, you know, okay, we joined afterwards. We joined them after, but it was the same thing. Yeah, we are with them, but one part of you is thinking about all those people there. So this is the mercy, you know. This is actually how devotee or how we overcome material happiness, actually. Baladev Vidya Bhushana, he explains that this happiness could be would refer also to the. He speaks about the process. He says, one is going through dukkha, through difficulties, because he wants to attain the goal. And then when he attains the goal, this is actually sukha. This is happiness. But he says, for a spiritual person, for a devotee, he is not after that happiness. So it's totally strange for a material person. They can't understand this. If you're going through some difficulties, through hardships, you want to attain something. No. But devotee, he wants to attain only more service. Because this dukkha, it's not dukkha anymore, it's pure bliss. No? Like, you're going out, meet all kinds of crazy people in an environment which is very tamoguna, and you feel blissful and blessed and protected. This is the mercy of serving the pure devotee, of his instruction. He says, go out and speak about Krishna. And we may be not qualified or feel whatever, but we do it, and the result is there. This dukkha is not anymore dukkha. And sukha also, the result we get, okay, we are not after the result. You know. So this Lord Krishna, he speaks here about sattvic thing. You know. But later he will also inspire Arjuna by material happiness. Yeah? Later he will speak karma kanda. Then he will speak, oh Arjuna, if you refuse to fight, everybody will speak bad about you. And what is worse from kshatriya? What can be worse for kshatriya than to, you know, be in this condition? But if you fight, you will attain heavenly planets. You will either die and attain heavenly planets, or you will enjoy the kingdom on earth. So this is, Lord Krishna says even this. Of course, Arjuna is not after this. We could see it in the beginning. He said, what is the use of kingdom? Kim no rajyena govinda. What is the use of rajya without my beloved friends and parents and cousins? So this is. But Krishna speaks this in order to instruct. He speaks all of this karma kanda portion. Then in either way, you will not lose anything. But many people will be inspired by this. I know, like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was not inspired with liberation, isn't it? No, not at all. He wanted something big. But in the process, he became pure. So it's similar. It can be similar with us. You can join even for material reasons, but then something happens. I know some... I have some friends, they were like, No friends. Boys who would come for programs for Sunday feast, and later they would tell me, I actually came to find some nice girl. And in the process, they became interested in spirituality and became devotees, and they don't join the Brahmacharya ashram. This is the blessing of Srila Prabhupada, no? This wonderful process giving us something totally different, no? So nothing to do, like I remember Bhakti Purushottama Swami from Mayapur, no? Many years, I mean 1993 or 1994, he was coming to Croatia, to Rijeka, and there was interview in the newspaper. They interviewed him, and they asked him, isn't it in spiritual life there is very little happiness, and there is a lot of suffering you have to go through, a lot of renunciation. There's very little happiness there. And he responded, yes. He said, there is no happiness in spiritual life and no distress. It's pure bliss. This was his answer. Yeah, in spiritual life there is no happiness and no distress. It's just pure bliss from the beginning till the end. This is a spiritual life. It is just pure bliss, but we only need to access it, isn't it? We need to access it. Sometimes we need the determination for this determination. And sometimes, because this process is so merciful, you know, we just need to come into the right place, isn't it? Right environment. Like when Harinam party goes or some festival, people can be nowhere. But as soon as the party approaches, they become like, immediately they get the bliss, you know? And they taste the bliss. But in order to live on the platform of bliss, it requires determination. But they can taste it, and then they will never forget it. They will remember it for years. That I remember, yeah, I was there, and that was so good. I never felt like that afterwards, you know, or before, you know. So something happens. You know. Okay. Few more minutes. So we see how interesting it is. We have so many experiences. Like King Janaka. We know the example of King Janaka. He, you know, his minister asked him, you don't seem to be so happy and enjoying your kingdom, but you have everything. So he decided to punish him. He said, you should not have asked this question. That's one version of this example I heard. And he ordered him to go through the city with the jar, jar on his head, and full of water. And if little water will spill out, his head will be chopped off. But the town was wonderfully decorated. Everything was so beautiful, much more than generally. So after he passed through the city, Janaka Maharaj asked him, so, how was it for you? Have you seen all the beauties and all the nice things? Oh, I didn't see anything. I was just thinking about the water in the jug, and I walked so carefully because I know it. My life depends on this. So how could I enjoy? What? I don't understand. How could you ask such a question? He said, yes, I just wanted to demonstrate to you how I feel. I know I can die at any moment, and I know that this all is temporary, so I actually cannot enjoy it. And this is what devotees have. That's why we are here. All the devotees, they have this realization. I have some friends, devotees, who are not in good condition, spiritual condition. You know, and you may say, no, we shouldn't look like that upon them. They may be smoking or having some problems in life or this or that. But if you sincerely approach and you speak to these devotees, what you will hear? You will hear nothing. They don't have any hope for material life. Just in this period, tough period of their, difficult period of their life, but they know that everything is temporary. All devotees know this. And this is why we are here, prerequisite. No? Those who don't have this, they just cannot push your spiritual life. No? They can't. They can add it as a something small just to feel better. But only devotees have this. I will end with... because we, in this frame of mind of ours, it's difficult for us to understand the people who are, you know... We think, why not everybody is accepting? It makes logic, you know? We think, why others... But they are not... Their frame of mind is different. They don't think like this. And I had a wonderful realization about this when I met one boy and girl, and we somehow came to the topic of Krishna, and I asked them, they told me, she told me like, oh, I had one book. And I asked, is it Science of Self-Realization? She said, yes, that's the one, because that one was widely distributing. She said, yes, that's the one. And I said, and how you felt about the book? He said, Actually, I became very depressed. So I was thinking, what? In my mind, when I got that book, I was flying. I was thinking, wow. And even in radio, local radio, I know once there was some program many years back, and one man called the radio and he said, please, everybody should read this book, Science of Self-Realization. It's amazing. You know, he wanted to share. He was also enthused. But this girl, she said, I was depressed, totally. So I asked her, what made you depressed? Which part of the book, what you read that made you depressed? Can you share? And she replied, when I read that, it seems to me that nothing in this world has any sense. That all is futile, huh? How you say in English? All is insignificant, all is temporary. You know? Nothing has purpose, senseless. Whatever I do, all things we do in this world seems like they don't have any purpose. That's why I become very depressed. And I congratulated her, actually. Because this is the truth, you know. Because they don't have a spiritual solution. You know? But this is the day frame of you know, emotional frame. They think, oh, I want to be happy, and here they say that whatever we do is useless. Whatever we do in this world is useless. Everything will pass away. You know? But for devotees, this is the source of enthusiasm, isn't it? We get, oh, everything is, all is temporary, gives us impetus for Krishna consciousness, but they don't have this. So they feel depressed, and that's why they run away, they are afraid of spiritual knowledge, many people. They are afraid, because they know that they will be awakened. And then you have to change your life, and nobody wants to change. And we want to remain as long as we can. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If anyone wants to add something, or yeah.
We are Lord Krishna talking about the sukh and dukh, happiness and distress. And Krishna also mentioned in a chapter 8, Mamu Pitya Punarjan Madhukala and Parsha, Dukhala is the ocean of unhappiness. So in this ocean of unhappiness, this is not contradictory.
It's not contradictory, yeah. It seems like it is, but it is not. Because, you know, all Vedas are like this, isn't it? That's why devotees, spiritual people can understand it. We can understand, because devotees are very broad. And this Vedic knowledge is very broad. And we will see contradictions, apparent contradictions, which are actually not contradictions, and that's why... Because our society is very wide and everyone has access to knowledge. So even people who not have good understanding, they start to fight. You know? That's why we see so much fighting going on. Srila Prabhupada was not happy with that. You know? I heard from one senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He shared with me, he said how amazed he was and seeing how Srila Prabhupada could unite all kinds of people who would never go, you know, be able to cope with each other, never, never. But Srila Prabhupada was able to unite all those. So similarly, when we don't have this, then we have, we think this point is this, and then we push on the point, you know. Like Varna Ashrama, you know, or against Varna Ashrama, or, you know, or I don't know, yeah, different types. But Srila Prabhupada said both things. He said, in this age, he said Varna Ashrama is compulsory, necessary, and in other place he say Varna Ashrama in this age is impossible. Yeah? So we think, is it impossible or is it necessary? It is necessary and impossible. So only very intelligent people will be able to understand this. Others will say, this is, come on, leave me alone. But only very intelligent people, they will understand this. Like Arjuna, he had to kill and also spare life of Ashwatthama. So he was very intelligent. And only very intelligent people can apply these points. Because they are the categories. The categories. You will see when Krishna speaks, or in the Bhagavatam, when there is a topic of destiny, you know, of you know, only when somebody dies, when all is already done, then comes the philosophy of destiny. Before that, it comes the philosophy of work and endeavor. But when you have done everything and you have lost or died, then comes the philosophy of destiny. Because nothing you can do anymore. As long as you can do something, you should do. But then, you know, so these are the categories, you know. Or even from higher level, you know, Srila Prabhupada says, you know, like Bhagavata philosophy is, no, don't endeavor at all for material things. Just endeavor for soul, you know, for spiritual things. Yeah. So yeah, Lord Krishna says, Dukalayam, this place is full of misery, there is no any happiness. But in the same verse, or a little later, you know, Lord Krishna, I will end with this. What's that? Similar thing he says in the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna in the end, since you have come to this miserable world, serve me. Bhajasvamam. Imam prapya bhajasvamam. I've just come to that right now. Imam prapya bhajasvamam, he says. Having come to this... yes. Anityam asukam lokam. Text 933. Yeah, he says, he said this, a famous verse. Whoever takes my shelter, he will come to me, even if it is lowborn. But then afterwards he says, how much more is that means, is then that counts for brahmanas, you know? Kim punar brahmana punya, for pious brahmanas and raja rishis, bhakta, and for devotees. Then he says, anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. So having came to this anityam, temporary, and asukam, no sukha, that means dukkha, world, serve me bhajasvamam. But what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport is interesting. So we see there is no happiness, no, he is asukam. But then Srila Prabhupada concludes, he says, this world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable by, for any sane gentleman. But then he says, just a second. One should be happy. Later he says one should be happy. Yeah, like this here. Therefore, later he says, you know, therefore the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. You know, it is asukam and anityam, but devotee can live happily in this material world. This is the 934 in the end of purport, this last sentence of Prabhupada. No? And therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. And we can see it's only devotees can have, these people cannot understand. They see devotees happy, dancing, Who can do this? Only if they are drunk. Only drunk people can, or different spiritual groups, you know, like this, you know, black, these gospels of the, you know, Christian gospels, they also happily serve. But only in spirituality, no other ways. You know. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.